Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Jennifer, who is yet another person in the Sangha who is doing quite a fun fundraiser for the folks in Cantaloma and has agreed to be with us this afternoon to talk about it. Welcome, Jennifer.
Hello, thanks.
Hey, so maybe you can tell us what you're up to, what your project is.
Yeah, I have not done a bridge walk fundraiser before. This is my first one. And I have health conditions so that I can often not walk. And I don't know why this just popped in one day that I could do the fundraiser. It just popped in. And I thought, well, I'm almost walking to my mailbox now, so maybe I could do a fundraiser where I walk to my mailbox and on the day, on October 5th, and I could work up to that, and I could email a bunch of my friends and tell them what I'm doing and have a fundraiser that way.
And the results, from what I understand, have been very, very inspiring.
Yes, they actually have. I also came up with the idea that I could ask people to send me songs about bridges so that I could make a bridge playlist while I was on my walk and really be in the mood. And, oh, people thought that was really fun. So I have about a million bridge songs, and I'm making a playlist with them. And the thing that was so surprising to me about it was that I cooked up the idea, and then I composed my email, and I sent it out, and then I sort of forgot about it. And then people started saying, oh, well, here's some money. And I said, well, what's that for?
Well, thank you, but...
Thanks, but why are you giving me money? Well, your fundraiser. Oh! And it just, the thing that surprised me was that I forgot, and that then people started giving me money.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that all of a sudden I felt like I belonged in a big way. It was like I got this present of belonging because, you know, when you're housebound for a good portion of the time, you lose touch with people and friends,
and that
put me in touch there, and also with the fact that they were like, sure, here, have some money.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Well, you know, and Jennifer, that's so fun because another big piece of it would be how easy would it be to believe a story of, okay, I can't walk, so what fundraiser am I going to do? You know, I mean, I'd love to participate, but I can't. But you didn't go there. Instead, it sounds like you were just sort of there, present, and in drops this idea, and that without needing to change anything about your circumstances, suddenly you were able to participate, and in this way that, as you say, really provided you with a sense of belonging, with being connected.
Yeah, and also being connected with the bridge walk. For some reason, conditioning had it down that, you know, I couldn't go to Golden Gate. That was completely out of the picture, and it would be stupid to register. Why would I do that if I raise any money? And all of a sudden I thought, well, why is that stupid? So I just thought, I will fool everyone here. I'm just registering, and now I have to do it. And it has a date, October 5th. And not only will I belong to my friends, but I'll also belong to Sangha, and I'll belong by walking on the same day and having my little bridge songs.
Love it. And isn't that really, truly, in the deepest sense, the movement to belonging is dropping the story that conditioning wants to keep us in and just letting life kind of offer us the next exciting, interesting thing. And then there we are, connected, belonging.
Yeah, and conditioning can give you a really big story when it's difficult to participate in things because of disabilities or being housebound. And so conditioning really gets on a roll there saying, well, you can't do anything, you can't participate. You're not helping anyone do anything, you know, just huge amount of story. And, boy, just kind of put that to rest immediately.
And isn't that a great gift to us when, I mean, this really has been a theme through the whole Bridgewalk season, but that, so there you're called to do something because I would project a piece of it is just really wanting to assist those amazing folks in Cantaloma.
Exactly.
And in that process, you get to see in a very, very tangible comfortable front row kind of a way. Wow, conditioning really is lying. None of that was true.
Completely lying. And I think I got the idea actually when I was reading the Africa blog. And I'm very inspired by, especially by teaching by the school. I used to be an English teacher, so I'm pretty inspired by that. And all the pictures and all the descriptions. And well, I don't have an income. I can't do anything. And then, poof, that was gone too because, hey, let's just register and do a fundraiser.
Yeah. And, you know, another great piece of it is that, and then you communicated about that you were doing this and what you were seeing and the inspiration that was there. And because of that, we found out about it. And here you are in the good news update. Do you know? So it's like the inspiration leads to inspiration leads to inspiration leads to.
Yeah, and I even had a friend who was on my email list. I didn't know that she'd done this, but she has a school that she runs, and her school sponsored and built a school in Zambia.
No.
Yeah, and she emailed me about it. I was like, what?
Oh, my gosh.
And so I got to go see pictures of that school.
Oh, that's
and, I just heard from all kinds of people I haven't heard from for a while, and my niece who I never hear from her at all. And she emailed and said, "Oh, should we time it so that when you walk on that day out to the mailbox, the money's in the mailbox?" She was all excited and thanked me for giving her plenty of leeway in order to send me some money.
Oh, I love that. You know, I can't remember who it is. There's someone who talks about how asking people to participate, offering the opportunity to participate is such a gift. You know, so often we all have so much conditioning, or especially around money. Oh, I don't want to ask for money. You know, I shouldn't do that. And all the things we have around that. But then, in fact, it's actually a great gift to invite people into that. And that's what I hear in that story about your niece, is that it was so much fun for her to be asked.
It was. And she was thankful that I gave her plenty of time, and she was trying to time it so I can walk out on that day and get her money.
I love it.
It was
yeah.
great.
Yeah. And it sounds like, you know, that there's a piece of it. There is a challenge in it for you, that because what you have going on with your health really doesn't allow you to be up and about, that there's a, you know, the walking to the mailbox is something that you're working up towards. And so I guess it's a real support for you on the health front as well.
It is, and I've been sending people updates on my, quote, training, unquote, of getting myself to the mailbox. And some people just seem to be really tickled that the whole thing is about going to the mailbox.
Yeah.
Somehow that caught their attention. So it's just been very fun and very inclusive, and I feel the gift of feeling like I'm participating and that I'm belonging in a bunch of different ways.
Well, I really, really appreciate, again, as I said, that you put it out there and that you, you know, sort of offered yourself generously as, you know, inspiration for all of us, because it's just, there's so much in it about not believing the voices, as you said, and really following our heart, and then what the great gifts that come out of that for us.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I feel like I'm getting so much out of it myself that it's just coming back many fold.
Yeah, I know Sherry has said this so many times, and I can't for the life of me think, I just read it again the other day somewhere, but that definition of a good deal is where each person feels like, no, I'm receiving the most.
Exactly.
I really know it's me. You're giving to me.
Yes, no, really, really, I'm getting more out of it than you all are.
Exactly. And that sure feels like, I mean, I know, you know, in Sangha we talk about that all the time, and certainly it happens every Bridge Walk season, and I think with the work in Cantalumba for sure, that we all just feel like we benefit so much from it, and the reality is we're all giving so much to it, because it truly wouldn't exist if we weren't all doing what we're doing, so deep gassho to all of us, I suppose.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're just about at 5:00. Jennifer, anything else you wanted to add in before we end?
Well, thank you for inviting me on the show. That's just another thing that I received, another feeling of belonging by being invited to be on the show. So it just keeps on happening.
Yeah, well, you're most welcome, and deep, deep gratitude to you as well. So take good care, and can't wait for your walk to the mailbox. I hope you'll give us an update.
Thank you.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Okay, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Jennifer. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Well, that was about the most inspiring thing I've ever heard.
Wasn't that something? I mean, you know, the stories that got what would we say revealed and shown to be what they are in that. So you know, I can't participate. I can't do anything because when here somebody can't leave the house and has come up with an amazing fundraiser that provided everything that we want out of every experience, right? Participation and belonging and feeling good and doing something good and having fun. Did I say having fun? Oh, my gosh.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, it really is brilliant.
Yeah.
And I love the bridge songs so that you have the tunes for the trip. It's really brilliant. Yeah, very inspiring.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Anything you'd like to start us off with before I go to the announcements?
No, because if I do, I'll give away all of your announcements.
Okay. Well, there's only one.
I'm going to give you a chance to start.
Okay, great. There is still time to register for the Bridge Walk this Saturday. The way to show support, whether you can attend the walk in person or not. Everyone is welcome to participate from anywhere, as we so clearly heard. So I'm very, very excited about that.
Me too. I can't wait. Is the whole family coming?
Yes, indeed, including extended family as well. So I'm very excited.
Very good. I think that's an angle we should go for, that it can be like you have a family reunion week, right? Bring everybody together and come to the Bridge Walk.
Yes. Great. And there's lots more at schedule.livingcompassion.org, so check that out, and there's a lot of great events there.
Yeah, I think there's Rest and Be Thankful is coming up. I can't remember what the dates are, some beautiful time in October. I think the 24th or somewhere around there.
Yeah,
and
25th through 27th.
And then I think the New Year's retreat has registration for that has opened up as well. So,
yeah.
And that's one that people want to, you know, hop on because that always is over capacity. And then I think also there's a workshop in Mountain View, California with Sherry Huber. I think it's around the 1st of December, something like that.
Oh, my goodness. News to me.
Yeah. And that's at our new center that you
wonderful
managed to score for us. And and the other one is, maybe that's the around the 24th or 25th, I'm going to be on a Saturday afternoon at Integral Yoga in San Francisco.
Yes, that's Saturday, October 26th, from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m.
Oh, so
which I know because I'll be there.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, I haven't been there yet to that facility. I know those lovely people from Manhattan, from their center in Manhattan, where I've gone for years.
Yes.
And the Swami there is one of my favorite people on the whole planet. So very excited to see him and see where they are in San Francisco and like that. So hope everybody
wonderful
will come and join us.
Wonderful. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Our call-in number today is 888-4-SANGHA. That's 888-472-6442. The show ID is 15406. And then you'd enter £1 or your PIN followed by pound. And a reminder to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. So let's get talking.
Mm-hmm.
First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. It's Danny calling from San Francisco.
Well, hello, Hi. Danny. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
Great. Feeling great. What's going on? Are you coming to the bridge walk? All right. Okay.
Yeah.
And what else is going on?
And the Gruel Yoga Center. And I'm looking at the possibility of coming to the New Year's retreat for the first time in a long time. And yeah. Well, I was seeing how I tend to only call in when there's something big going on. And so I decided to make a commitment to call more frequently when there's not necessarily anything going on. But then the more I looked at that, the more I saw there's always something going on.
Yeah, exactly. When would you find a time when there's nothing going on? Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, and even... I mean, even practice-wise, when I look at it, there's always something big going on.
Oh, yeah.
Especially, I've just been noticing how the insights, the awarenesses just, they keep on coming. Somebody's trying to capture them, and before you can even figure out how to capture them, it's the next one's come in and taken its place.
Yeah, yeah. And isn't it lovely when we get to a place in practice where we can see that as a good thing?
Yes.
Yeah, because yeah. For a long time, when we have one of those insights, we just want to grab that thing and clutch it and hug it close to us and just milk. And then after a while, we realize that, you know, there's no benefit in that. And so it's an endless stream. And we might as well just let that one go so the next one can be there. And trust, until we know from our own experience, that we are transformed by the insight, by the awareness, whether we know it or not.
Beautiful. Yes, exactly so. Yeah. I mean, I see how for a long time I would, you know, tried to hold the insights close, and I would essentially squeeze the life out of them.
Yes.
And, and eventually coming to trust that if I just am open to what comes and just let it come in and let it go out, that they just keep coming as long as I keep paying attention and being open to receiving what life sends my way.
Yes. Yeah, and we don't have to have any kind of understanding to reap the benefit. That conditioned mind would tell us that if we don't have an experience of it, if I don't know it's happening, if I can't talk to myself about it, then it's not real. But as you've indicated, that process the conditioned mind calls making it real is really sucking the life out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, again, I think we've talked about this before, and I've brought this up before. It's, for many years, it's really stuck in my mind, you talking about trying to take the river home in a bucket. I mean, that just says so much.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, the comparison that just dropped in is I eat, and what I want to do is my best to make sure that eat is good and healthy and nutritious. But I don't worry about whether or not my body can make use of it. I trust that the body knows how to get in and digest it and assimilate it. And use it to strengthen itself, to care for
yes.
itself.
Yes,
and in
I don't
the
same have
way,
to.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't have to turn it over to an I who has to make it happen.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So the all of the nourishing is being done without, as you say, any ego required to make it happen.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, very nice.
And then, as you're also indicating, after a while, we're just happy with that process because we realize that getting overly involved with something that we know nothing about and cannot enhance, we are actually doing ourselves damage. So then
right.
We can truly let go and just smile as we flow along.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very relaxed, isn't it? Very, very easy when there's nothing I need to do.
Very, very, yeah. When I can just trust life and just relax into that, into feeling supported. Speaking of
yeah.
which, one thing I've been looking at lately, I spoke about this on my RLB support call, but it continues to be up for me. Knowing what's going on with me by whether the deluge of practice offerings leave me feeling supported or drowning.
Uh-huh. Overwhelmed.
Yeah. That it's conditioning who feels like it's drowning in them, but it's authenticity that feels supported. And more often than not, by far these days, I'm feeling greatly supported and grateful by the seemingly endless supply of practice offerings.
Mm.
So, as you're saying that,
I go back to my little food thing. I must be hungry. I'll have to check in if I'm hungry. So, you know, here we are at this huge banquet, this giant smorgasbord. And if I'm identified with ego, then I have to eat as much of it as I possibly can. There's this urgency and kind of a, you know, I never know when I'll have all of this again, and so I just have to get as much of it for myself as I possibly can. It's urgent and stressed. But if I realize that banquet is always there, then I can take what I need for right now, knowing that the next time I need something, that will be there too.
Yes, and not letting the process of determining what I need be controlled by conditioning.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Because there's plenty. And as you, now the food analogy may falter here, because what I think you're also indicating is that the more centered you feel, the more open you are to more support. And which is really interesting because we would think that the more centered I am, the less I would want support because I don't need support. I'm already centered. But when I'm at center, I love everything center, and I can't get enough of it. Not because I need it, but because I am it and because I love it.
Yes, yes, and because, yes, that it's a mirror, and it's an extension and it's a support. Yeah, all those.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're lucky, aren't we?
We are. I'm going to go and let somebody else talk, and I will see you in a few days.
In a few days, at the walk. Thanks, Danny. Take care.
Thank you, Sherry. Deep Kasho. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Thanks for joining us, Danny. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we're going to hear from our coaches program, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
The year of deepening practice has produced a new support opportunity for people of all levels of practice. A team of Zen awareness coaches guided by Sherry Huber, who offer individual coaching to support awareness practice. This coaching program is designed to help strengthen the inner voice of self-compassion and peace, and places a special emphasis on recording and listening. Whether you're brand new or a long-timer, awareness coaching can be the extra support your heart desires. As the Buddha said, we must each work out our own salvation diligently. Zen awareness coaches can assist you wherever you are in your practice. For more information, visit sanghamarket.com. Look for the Little Zen Monk under the Services section. These services are offered with loving kindness to support those wishing to deepen their practice.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. This is Chris in Fresno.
Well, hello, Chris.
Hi. I am a first-time caller.
I would have suspected that unless you called when I was not on this show.
Yeah, I've been trying, and now I've figured out how to get on.
Good.
call early enough.
Uh-huh.
And
well,
so
that's wonderful.
So I'm mostly calling to sort of get warmed up to making a commitment to call regularly, because conditioning always is trying to talk me out of calling.
Yes, that would be right, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, from its perspective, it would be right.
Yeah, right.
Hmm?
It is, you know, even to the point of while I'm sitting here on the phone trying to talk me out of or trying to talk me into hanging up, oh, you don't have anything important to say or interesting to say. And this is a process for me, I'm noticing.
Mm-hmm. So you hear that kind of conversation in other places?
All the time.
Yeah. Isn't it just the damnedest thing? That we would have this, talking leech following us around through life, saying things like that to us for no reason than to make us feel bad and small and isolated.
Yeah, that's really what I see it doing. It's trying to, quote-unquote, keep me safe by not letting me be connected.
Yeah, yeah. Safe, alone, lonely. Somebody who, she said sarcastically, really likes you.
Yeah, right.
Just the kind of person you'd like to spend an evening with.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and if I do something like this and call or try to offer something in a large group, share at the monastery, whatever it is, then, of course, you know, as many callers have said before me, then there's the campaign afterwards to tell me how foolish I sounded, to tell me I said too much.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just I guess it's one of those things that there's no sense in trying to make sense out of it. It's just the way it is. And if when we catch on to it and realize that it is a system, it's a process, that it happens to everybody, to one degree or another, in one form or another, then it's kind of like a cold or, a hangnail or something. It's just something happens. and we really need to take it on or take it seriously or certainly not take it personally. And we don't need to allow ourselves to be affected by it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you know, the thing about it is, so you know, you mentioned being in a group, and it's trying to talk you out of talking until the group is over, and then it beats you up for not talking. So the next time you decide to talk because you don't want to get beaten up afterwards, and then you get beaten up afterwards for what you said. And of course, the whole deal behind that is, if you don't speak, if you don't let people know who you are, then it's really difficult for people to feel close to you, feel connected to you. People are suspicious of people who never participate, who just are there and quiet. You know, it's like, what is he thinking, really? So to keep a person in that position by making them feel like this makes them safer or, you know, nobody's going to know who you are, so they have no reason to dislike you. All of those stories that people believe that will cause them to stay quiet, of course, continue the story of not belonging, not participating and not belonging. Nobody cares about me. Nobody knows who I am. Nobody likes me. And then, of course, you're meant to believe that long enough and then go off again. It would be by yourself, but we know that what you would be going off with is the very voice that set you up to have that disappointing, hurtful experience in the first place.
Yes, you summed it up shockingly accurately, but of course we know you would know that.
Yeah. And of course we know it because it happens to all of us.
Yeah.
And the freedom is in doing what you're doing, which is acknowledging it, putting it out, and taking the power away from that system.
Mm-hmm. So I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
My experience is that things that used to scare the heck out of me maybe in quotes there,
mm-hmm.
Don't have the same kind of force. And this seems like an obvious answer, but I'm suspecting that as I participate more and more, that will become the case here also.
The Sangha?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I don't know if I've said this when you've been around, but years ago, somebody said to me, so it's obvious that there's an inner circle here. So how does a person get into the inner circle? I said, it's simple. You show up.
Mm-hmm.
That's who's in the inner circle. The people who are always there. And, of course, over time, everybody gets to know everybody in that way that we do in this odd little sangha that we have, where, you know, you've been in enough workshops and retreats together that you kind of get a sense of who somebody is. And, you know, they're talking about their family or they're talking about their work or their, whatever it is, the content of their life is. And over time, we really do have a sense of knowing one another, even though there's absolutely nothing personal in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And before long, you realize, you know, you go on retreat and you know everybody there.
Yeah.
It's like coming mm-hmm. home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's becoming my experience.
Yeah. Good. Mm-hmm. Good. Good experience to have, because that companion that we all have when we're not using other companions is a nasty one to get stuck with.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all I really wanted to talk about. That's the shot across the bow of conditioning.
And, so we'll be hearing more from you. And maybe see you at New Year's?
Yeah, you might. Yeah. Yes, that's my plan, and maybe sooner.
Oh, very good, very good. All right. Yeah, make it a habit.
Yeah.
That's the best way. Just make Sangha a habit. Good. Well,
thanks very much.
And here's the deal. When you hang up, you don't listen to a word, right? Not a word.
Mm-hmm.
You know they're going to be there waiting for you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That'll be a good practice opportunity.
Exactly. So you just say, no, we're not talking about that. Thanks. All right. You take care.
Thanks, Sherry. Thanks, Michael.
You're
welcome.
Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Next caller.
Hello?
Are you there?
Mm.
Okay, let's try the next one. My computer is responding a little slowly here, Sherry, just to keep you in the loop.
Well, we all have slow days, don't we, Michael?
Yes, we do. It's true.
Yeah.
Okay, I've just clicked on the next person, but the computer is not responding yet.
Oh, hello. This is Zoe.
Oh, there we go.
Hi, Zoe.
Hello, Zoe.
Hi.
I think you were surprised for Michael. What's going on?
I'm so inspired by the people who just talked.
No, isn't it something?
Oh, my gosh. Well, yeah, because I've been kind of like, I decided to call because I've been teaching nonstop on Tuesday nights. And so this is like a night off. And so I thought I have to call and just, I feel like conditioning's kind of had me on the run. And so mm-hmm. I'm turning away from that companion to Sangha. And it's just, really inspiring.
Yeah, when you make the turn and then you start running into folks on the path. And because you've made that turn, you're already inspired.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's mm-hmm. that feeling of just more so. Yeah, each time we hear somebody else expressing whatever they're expressing about their practice, it touches us again and again and again and again.
Yeah, definitely. And so, I just wanted to call and check in and participate and connect and like
mm-hmm.
that. So
remember, get a booster shot.
Yeah, exactly. And I know because part of the reason I realized that I had a technology shift, and so I didn't have my podcast available for way too long, and it was just like one thing that just. I don't know. I feel like I've realized just in the past couple of days, like how, just like that one thing is so supportive and so helpful to keep me connected to practice and I don't know, aligned with truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the point that you've made that I want to underline for all of us, because it's a really, really important one. So something happens with technology, and you don't have the podcast, and some days go by.
Yeah.
And it is shocking how quickly conditioning can just come in and close over the opening.
Yeah.
So I talk to people who, this one person talked about putting the recorder in the drawer, the bedside table.
Mm.
And forgot about it for 2 years.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's kind of like that. It's like it wasn't even just the technology. Like, I felt like it was a bunch of things, you know, like I had a really busy weekend that kind of threw me off kilter, like the busiest weekend of my year, and then like kind of behind on a bunch of things, and just like kind of busyness, and then falling into the trap of urgency, and just thing after thing.
We're all having excitement, right? Then you're behind, and then there's urgency, and then something comes in with ideas about what you should do now and how you should do this, and this is going to be, and then pretty soon you're feeling tired and kind of stressed and overwhelmed. The question becomes, what practice? Except nobody asks that question.
Nobody asked what happened? Is that the question?
Nobody asked the question, what practice? You know, if somebody said, what practice? Then you would go, oh, right, I practice. But nobody asked that. So it's kind of miraculous when we hop back on the wagon, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's not like I've been off, like, you know, I've still been sitting mostly every day and, still doing that, you know, reflective listening and like other things, but I don't know, there's just like I could feel the takeover and I could feel all the urgency and all that. And so, yeah, I don't know, just forgetting, just kind of lost and in like a bit of a funk, fog, I don't know. So,
very familiar. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're out of the fog.
Thank you.
Yeah, and back on track, because life is so much more pleasant, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, you sound calmer already.
Well, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for calling and checking in and doing the practice and all like that there. Because the point that somebody just made in this very show, you know, that it takes everybody. Sangha is all of us, and it's easy to get talked out of that awareness. All right. Will you take care of yourself?
Thanks. You too. Bye bye.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Zoe. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And we have another call here, Sherry.
Very good.
If this computer will cooperate. I think we're on a little bit of a lag here in technology world.
Okay, well, I'm sending healing energy to it.
Yeah, I'm breathing. So that's for lack of another choice. I've clicked, and I'm waiting for the console to update here to show me that the person is now live.
Well, you didn't get any message and Zoe was there, so maybe they'll sneak up on you again.
Yes.
Hello, this is Rochelle from Charlotte.
It worked. Hi, Rochelle.
Oh, my goodness.
How are you doing?
I am doing well. How are y'all doing, Sherry and Michael?
Very, very well. Very well. Getting excited, as you can tell, about the bridge walk. And
I heard.
Yeah.
I tell you, and it's just looking at the photos of the children in Cantalamba, it's just like, man, they look so healthy and happy.
Don't they?
Yeah,
it's such a completely different picture than when we started. It is dramatic to see. And, of course, it's so thrilling for us to see the same ones year after year after year just bigger and taller and stronger and healthier and big smiles. And
over time, how much it grows and how well it's growing.
The kids growing. You know, in a community like that, and I'm sure given what you do for a living, you do know this, but it doesn't grow. You know, it boy, if you're not eating, you stay really small. And and so to watch these kids just, you know, shooting up there is really, you know, it's great.
And they should be growing fast and tall and things like that. And so it's, let's see. I must kind of out-conditioning in that it's kind of talked me out of calling over the past couple of weeks. And even during this call, there was a strong urge to just hang up and give up, you know, not to call in. But I did want to touch base and let you know about something that happened to get some input and some guidance around it.
What happened?
Now, you remember I have a little beagle dog.
Yes. Yes, I certainly do.
Yeah, and I've had her since she was a puppy, and so she's kind of been my companion through a bad depression. In fact, I got her during a depression just because I just wasn't interested in doing anything, and at least with another heartbeat in the house, I could, you know, had to get up and feed the dog and help me exercise and things like that. And so she's been my companion for about 3 years, and we were walking, and when we were walking, she got attacked by a bigger dog. And she's such a sweet dog. And I had taught her that if she's scared or nervous or anything going on that she's not sure about, to sit and just sit and wait. And bless her heart, you know, this dog, it was so fast and so quick that it happened so fast, and I looked, and she was, Nala was sitting. You know, she was looking at me nervously, but this dog barreled toward her and hit her full force sitting. And so she, it had her by the neck and on her back and was trying to kill her. And I actually had to kind of aggressively pull Nala out from under this, and she was okay. She had several bites and everything, and the family of the dog got the other dog away. And interesting enough, we continued to walk or finished.
Rochelle, is she okay?
She is okay.
Okay.
She got,
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I just couldn't wait till the end of the story.
She is okay. And, you know, 10 minutes afterwards, she was okay. I was the one who was crying and upset. And, and I looked like I'd been through something. In fact, the people at the animal ER were more concerned about me than her, because she was wagging her tail and stuff. And she seems to have no concerns. But I have that image of her being attacked. You know.
Oh, God. Yeah.
It's, yeah. And I just, you know, I was never afraid of the other dog. My fear was losing Nala.
Yeah.
You know, and it was fast attack, and conditioning is like, you know, this is a dog, and you know, it's not worth talking about, but you know,
it's friend.
Yeah, I mean, she's innocent, and she was very obedient and very good, and just this attack out of the blue, and I was amazed at how she recovered so quickly and walked home and wagging her tail and sniffing the blades of grass and doing what she needed.
And you're a wreck.
And I'm a wreck. You know, I'm a wreck from it. And she is, you know, doing her puppy thing. And she lives in the moment. But it taught me a lot about fear. I would have thought that my scariest thing was a big dog attacking. And people were like, weren't you scared for yourself or scared of the dog? And I was like, no, I was scared that it was going to take my dog away, that she was going to be gone in a matter of seconds. And I had to fight against that and really get in there and rescue my dog. And the thing that really gets me is that, bless her heart, I taught her to sit when she was scared. And she sat. She didn't run. She didn't, you know, growl. She didn't bark. She sat and looked at me, you know, I was like, gosh, you know, there's no way I'm going to, you know, not give a fight for this dog who is so well-behaved and well-trained that even in the face of a growling dog that you sit and do what you're taught. And you know, and so.
Two things about that strike me. One, it might have saved her life. Because if she had run, if she had tried to run, you know, she could have run far enough that you couldn't have gotten to her before the big dog finished her off.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So that's a true blessing. And just to underline the fact that of what you were willing to risk for someone you love.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's the kind of point that I always like to make for people, that when you realize that you will risk in that way to preserve that innocence, to save that innocence, than to remember that innocence resides in you, and to be willing to fight that hard against what would harm that innocence in you.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which, just to, you know, remind us all, that is what we're doing in practice.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. Because I on any ordinary day, I don't think I could have fought off this dog, you know, the big
right.
dog.
Right.
But it was a decision that no, I'm not letting you take my dog, not like
yeah.
this. No.
Yeah.
And it did feel very, you know, connected. And a friend of mine said, well, Nala was perfectly fine because she knew that you were right there to help her. You know, that she, you know, you're the leader of the pack. And when it came down to it, you know, she was obedient. She did as she was trained to do. And she knew that her leader would take care of her. And I just, you know, oh, my goodness. I'm like, my niece often asked me why I train her and strict on her training about sitting and things like that. And I'd always said so she won't run in front of a car or so she won't get hurt. But that those few seconds where she really, you know, sat and looked at me like, okay, I'm sitting. There's a bad dog coming, but I'm
get here.
And
get here, pal.
Yeah, I was like, oh, my goodness. So she's doing fine. I took her to the ER. She was on antibiotics. They made her high on pain medicine and flushed out all of her bite marks and everything. And she has been fine. And she's happy to go on the next walk. I, of course, now carry a big stick and I'm a little bit scared of it. But I refuse to let fear keep me from exercising her and fear to keep me from walking. That's part of my exercise and practice, to be able to get out and walk. And having her has helped me do that over the years. And so as scared as I am that, okay, now I know that there are vicious big dogs around there, then I know that, but I still want to go out and walk. And she has no fear whatsoever. Her tail is wagging.
Well,
she's like, walk.
That's the other thing that I think we can take from this, from her as our spiritual guide and teacher. She was sitting there. She was scared. And she was still in the present.
Yeah.
Do you know, she, now, of course, it can be argued that they don't have any choice about that. But that, the fact that we have a choice doesn't mean they can't be our model for how to be in that case. To be completely, absolutely present with where you are and what's going on. Because if you're going to die in the next moment, then where you want to be is completely present to what's going on and where you are, and completely with the one who's having the experience.
Yeah.
Right? And she didn't die. And so, wagging her little tail all the way home. So just that, even in the, at some time, it is going to be our last moment. And that's how present we want to be. And that's how willing we want to be fully there for whatever it is that coming our way.
Well, I admire her, because to sit there with that, you know,
with
it.
I doubt we could have done it.
Yeah.
We'd have been running like heck.
Yeah. We would have been running. She's a brave little dog. But
And a good little soul.
Thank you. Yes, a good little soul. Yes.
Yeah.
Most
yeah. Well, I am so glad that this has a happy ending. So,
yeah.
Good. And I hated to interrupt your story, but I couldn't stand it a second longer.
Yeah.
So all right. Well, it's great
to hear
from you.
She's doing well. I appreciate you helping me kind of look at it and practice around it.
Mm. She's a little bodhisattva dog, isn't she?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's great. All right, well, I'm glad both of you gals are doing well.
Thank you very much, Sherry.
Thank you. Take care. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Rochelle. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I have no console here, no technology working.
We're out of business?
I'm still talking to you, which is great.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Rochelle and I would have gotten off the phone, and then there would have just been this big blank space out there. So what you're saying, Michael, is why don't we say adieu, and we will meet back here next week, hoping that the technology gods are smiling more in our direction.
That sounds like a fabulous plan.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thanks, Michael.
Okay.
Take care.
Good night.
Good night.